Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
8:09 on this Friday morning. Dan Carroll in for Mike McConnell. We say hello to Jeff Bellinger once again. And the baby formula shortage is a story, Jeff, that really seems like a story that's starting to really take on a life of its own.
Yeah, a huge story, and it has the president's attention now. Mr. Biden has been in touch with formula producers, including Reckitt Benckiser and Gerber, and also with Walmart, Target, and other retailers. The White House says the administration is asking states now to relax their rules concerning the sizes and types of formula that are eligible for government benefit. This way, parents can use subsidies for whatever happens to be available.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, when you start getting, I would think, attention from mothers with young babies who are looking at something as basic as being able to give their kids formula, in a political sense, that's something that you have to pay attention to if you're at the White House. And I know Jen Psaki said yesterday that they're doing everything possible that they can do. And then you see a lot of these reports coming out now that there are pallets and pallets of baby formula getting shipped to the border and getting in the hands of a lot of people who may have come across the border illegally. And so you combine those two things, and that certainly can't help.
Yeah, I am seeing a headline now just appearing now on Fox Business. I happen to be watching a monitor with the sound down. It says that formula is being shipped from Ireland to the United States by Abbott Laboratories. So all that can be done is being done.
Yeah, okay. Apple is looking at unionization efforts at some of its retail stores. What's going on there?
Well, Apple's reminding workers how good they have it now. The iPhone maker has started holding meetings with employees and posting notices that outline the company's benefits. There are laminated copies of a letter posted in store back rooms. This letter calls attention to Apple's vacation policy, its health insurance and 401k plans, and perks such as product discounts.
Corporate culture at Netflix. What's happening with that?
The company has reportedly updated its culture memo for the first time in 5 years. Variety is reporting the new memo includes guidance for employees to act with fiscal responsibility, and it eliminates a section that said employees will not be asked to accept pay cuts should the company run into financial difficulty. That's significant. And a new section states that Netflix will not censor specific artists or voices, even if employees consider the content to be harmful.
That's a nice little perk. Even though we may have financial difficulties, you won't be getting a pay cut. That is at least unheard of in my experience.
Well, they're taking that away. That section was eliminated.
Eliminated. Okay.
Yes.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, that's a horse of a different
scary
color there. Yeah. Right.
That's right.
Futures this coming. What's coming up?
Yeah, futures not looking scary this morning. S&P futures are up 54 points now. NASDAQ futures are up 233. Dow futures are up 317. Could see a rebound on Friday. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, we say goodbye to Jeff Bellinger, and we say hello to Kevin Carr, Fat Guys at the Movies. And Kevin Carr, if there's a weekend where there is slim pickings out there, this may be one of those weekends. Is that typical for this time of year?
Well, yes and no. You do have a up and down effect that's always happened in the box office. Whenever there's a big movie that comes out, as we had last week with Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, they tend to wane a little bit the following week. And that's always been a thing, you know, mainly because you no one wants to release the movie the week after a huge film. So you've always get that. But you also get that that's sort of compounded in the new normal, not even the pandemic, but just the fact that now we have streaming people are tend to, you know, they get out of the way of the big movies. So you know that Doctor Strange is going to do great this weekend again. So nobody wants to release in the sophomore weekend of that. Although there is one big movie that's out this weekend, and that's the only one that's the new one in theaters. It's also available on Peacock, and that's the remake of Firestarter. This is, of course, based on the Stephen King book from the 80s. The original movie with Drew Barrymore came out in 1984, so it's been almost 40 years. This new version of it has it stars Zac Efron as the father of Charlie McGee, who's this kid who has the ability to create fire just by thinking about it. She's got pyrokinesis. The original movie starred Drew Barrymore. It had a, you know, it wasn't a massive hit, but it is a way, a lot of people are aware of it because it was based on a Stephen King book.
Yeah.
This new movie, it's sort of like Firestarter Light. It feels like a little more dialed back than the original one was. And even though it's got better fire effects, as you're going to get with special effects over 40 years, you have an increase in that. This one, it does seem to be a lower version of it. It's not as big. And even though it kind of hits the same signposts on the road meanders from different from a different way that it had from the first film. I like the first movie, but this one does seem like it doesn't quite hit the, it doesn't have the oomph, it doesn't have the spark, so to speak.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember the original Firestarter, and it just, and you know, in my opinion, that this was not a movie that was crying out to be remade. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it was always ripe for a remake. You know, 20 years ago, they did a TV a miniseries, a two-parter episode. So I think it's possible to do it. I just think that going the sort of like the it feels almost like they're trying to make it into a series on Peacock. That seems to be sort of where the oomph came from with this one. I think you can remake anything. I just don't think this one is done as well as it could have been.
Yeah. What goes, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but what goes into the decision from studios when they make the decision to either put it out in theaters or stream it? And in this case, I guess both is going to happen.
Well, a lot of it's trying to navigate the new normal. In particular, Universal's behind this one, so it's already in their business policy to have that short window. I mean, Even something like The Bad Guys, which was a Universal movie, is now available. It's only been out for a couple of weeks. It's now available for VOD. I think part of it is they want to keep people paying the money for the Peacock app. You have it if you have the, you know, it's like $5 a month. But they did this with Halloween Kills last year. That one was in theaters and available on Peacock. I had to have the premium app for it. So, these places, if you're billing, $5 a month from that many people, you're billing a good amount of money. You know, people talk about Netflix and the money that they're running into, you know, some bad, you know, weeks, but, you know, Netflix bills like $2 billion a month, you know, Disney Plus bills $1 billion a month for Disney Plus. So it's within their best interest to have some new content in order to retain subscribers.
Yeah. Years ago, I knew people who were fans of The Kids in the Hall. And tell me about the return of The Kids in the Hall.
Yeah, this is on Prime Video. You've got a new season of Kids in the Hall. They're sort of an upstart Canadian absurd comedy troupe from the late 80s, early 90s. They stopped production of their series back in 1995, I think. And so they're bringing them back. I was a big fan myself back in the 90s. And they've got six new episodes on Prime Video, which is great. If you're a fan of Kids in the Hall, you can actually get the original series on Prime Video as well. It's absurd and it's different and it's weird. So it's great to see them back. I wish there was more than six episodes, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, and it's not for the easily offended, I'll tell you that.
Well, great comedy stands the test of time, so we'll see how this one holds up. Kevin Carr, great to talk to you once again. Have a great weekend.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, there you go. Kevin Carr, Fat Guys at the Movies on 700 WLW. And not a fat guy, but a traffic guy.
Do we know for certain that Kevin Carr is fat?
You know what? You know, I looked at his website.
Okay.
And, or I guess it may be his blog page. And the picture is only is essentially a headshot with him with a pair of sunglasses. So it's
inconclusive.
It's kind of hard to tell. I mean, I would not peg him as a fat guy, but the title certainly it's been working for him for years now. So why quit that?
That's right. Go with it for sure.
Definitely.
We got delays on 75 northbound. Another wreck near Town Street. It's on the right shoulder. You're going to be hitting the brakes back to about Mitchell Avenue. Tack about 5-10 minutes on your commute. Just got a report of a wreck in Butler County along Milliken Road, going to be between Princeton Glendale and Liberty Fairfield, pretty much in between those two spots. 6th and Guest downtown, and one in Northern Kentucky on Dixie Highway at St. James. Still dealing with North Bend Road's closure between Banning and Betts from an early morning wreck. You can use Oakwood Avenue down to Belmont to try to get around that. From the UC Health Traffic Center, join the best and brightest at UC Health. Find your career at uchealth.com/careers. Jason Earhart on News Radio 700 WLW.
8:20 at the big one in the 9 first morning weather forecast. Tough to back up the day we had yesterday, but we're going to try. Sunshine and a high of 84 today. Partly cloudy tonight, the low 60. Morning sun with afternoon clouds and a chance of rain on Saturday. Saturday's high 81 and sunshine. A chance of late day rain on Sunday. Sunday's high 80. It is holding steady at 62 at 700 WLW.
Adele had cherry chapstick. Johnny Depp had a half-eaten cheese sandwich. Tom Hanks had a single used pack of man wipes. Kate Winslet had a nickel and 3 lint-covered Tic Tacs. What will Natalie Portman have? Find out when you join us for the Stuff We Find in Celebrities' Pockets podcast.
There are a lot of shows to listen to these days. Make sure it's a show worth your time. I suggest The Scott Sloan Show.
I face the same problems you do. So let's talk about them and have a little fun along the way.
Check out Sloaney this morning at 9 on 700 WLW. And be sure to catch his podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
This report is sponsored by the Cavalcade of Homes. It's the Cavalcade of Homes, the first 3 weekends in May. Hours are noon to 5. Admission is free. Produced by the Building Industry Association of Northern Kentucky. Visit Build...
700 WLW 825. Dan Carroll in for Mike McConnell on this Friday morning. 513-749-7000, 1-800, the big one, if you want to get on board. And I have never been part of one year I was part of a fantasy football league. And this was before, I mean, way before you could do it all online and I guess have your computer do all your work for you. And we spent so much time, you know, looking up players and deciding which players to draft and all that. I just thought it was too much work to do it. And now I know there's fantasy football leagues where I guess you have a commissioner and essentially takes care of everything. I don't really understand how it all works, but I know people have great fun with that. And I know people who are in multiple leagues and all the rest of it. But there's a fantasy football league in Kansas, and their sanction for finishing last in the fantasy football league was that whoever finished fast had to play in a U.S. Open qualifier. So I guess the U.S. Open qualifiers are going on right now, and I'm talking about golf. And so this guy who finished last in his fantasy football league last fall, he's from Kansas man, faced the punishment of competing in a local U.S. Open qualifier. And that put him right back at the so he not only did he finish last in his fantasy football league, he finished last at the U.S. Open qualifier where he played. 26-year-old John Eckert, Overland Park, finished last by a wide margin at the U.S. Open qualifier in Kansas City, Missouri. Winner Ryan, whose name I can't pronounce, finished a whopping 40 strokes above Eckert, who carded a 40 over 112. So you go to the U.S. Open qualifier and you shoot 112. So this guy, one of the guys he played with, posted this. Played at the U.S. Open local today. Teed off on the first tee. One of my playing partners wasn't there, so we waited a minute. Got the word he's on the wrong tee. Comes over to hole 10. Hits his tee shot 10 feet. He was five over after two holes. His caddy looks at us and says, "We're so sorry." He lost his fantasy football league bet, and his punishment was to play in the U.S. Open qualifier. Says Eckert snuck into the qualifier. And that's the thing. When you play in a U.S. Open qualifier, you have to have, if you're an amateur, you have to have an established handicap. And a lot of times those handicaps are like 1.4. I mean, something really low in order just to get into a qualifier. But apparently he registered himself as a professional. And so that allowed him to bypass the USGA requirement of the handicap. So he got in there, and it did make a few pars along the way, but a lot of double bogeys and even worse, and wound up shooting 112 at a U.S. Open qualifier. That is absolutely brutal. And if you don't play that much and you play at a course that's set up for a U.S. Open qualifier, you are not going to play well at all. Let's say good morning to Dick in Dayton. Dick, good to hear from you this morning. Everything all right in Dayton?
Well, good morning, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm sitting in for Mike McConnell this morning. How about that? That's kind of a big deal, isn't it?
How about that? No, I just wanted to tell you, life is good for me. Spread this word around. I'm going to Xenia today, and as I told you, I've got 4 days a week. I found jam sessions, and they all just know who I am and welcome me, and I just it's a good life for me.
Well, if you're a regular on this radio station, your name is going to be known far and wide. And and Dick, I hope you have a great time this weekend at your jam session. We got to run for news, Dick. So thanks for calling in.
Hey, always a pleasure, buddy.
Great to hear your voice, Dick from Dayton, one of the all time greats. And nice to hear from a regular this morning on 700 WLW.
News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
Playing under the bright lights this coming season with the 830 Report. I'm Rick Uccino. Breaking now, the 2022 NFL schedule unveiled by the NFL last night, and fresh off their AFC championship, Bengals are going to find themselves in prime time the maximum amount of times. Five primetime games this year, including two Monday Night Football matchups, one against the Browns in Week 8 and then the Bills in Week 17 at Paul Brown Stadium. Bengals also going to open at home this year against one of their division rivals.
A few hours before the full schedule was released Thursday night, the NFL announcing its Week 1 matchups, as the Bengals will host the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday, September 11th, with a 1 o'clock kickoff from Paul Brown Stadium. Between 2015 and November 2020, Pittsburgh won 11 straight in the rivalry, but the last three games have been won by the Bengals, who last season defeated the Steelers 24-10 in Pittsburgh and then beat their AFC North rival in a 41-10 rout at home. The Steelers in 2022, entering the post-Ben Roethlisberger era as the longtime starting quarterback, retired following the 2021 season. I'm Sean Gallagher, News Radio 700 WLW.
Single game tickets are now on sale. You can head to Bengals.com for all of the details. Let's check the latest traffic and weather together.
From the UC Health Traffic Center, join the best and brightest teams at UC Health. Find your career at uchealth.com/careers. North 75 remains a bit of a slow ride between Mitchell up toward Town Street. A couple of accidents in between there over the last hour. The good news, they've cleared up 123 up in Lebanon that had been closed at Stub Mills Road. Looks like all lanes are open. However, no such luck along North Bend Road. That's still closed between Banning and Betts from an early morning accident. Oakwood over to Belmont is your best alternate route through there. I'm Jason Earhart on News Radio 700 WLW.
Now the latest forecast from the Train Heating and Cooling Weather Center on News Radio 700 WLW.
It's a beautiful start to the day with temperatures in the low 60s and a mostly sunny sky. Warming to 84 today with just a few more clouds this afternoon, but staying dry for this evening's Garth Brooks concert. Tomorrow night, though, might be a little more difficult. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are expected, especially from 3 to about 11 p.m. on Saturday, and there's a low wind threat for severe weather. High tomorrow of 81. From your severe weather station, I'm 9 First Warning meteorologist Jennifer Ketchmark, News Radio 700 WLW.
65 degrees right now. We do have reports of a large police presence this morning near the King's School District in the Riverwalk subdivision. Officers were chasing a suspect who later fled his vehicle. vehicle on foot. We'll have more information as soon as it becomes available. One person is dead following a police chase that ended in a crash at North Bend and Simpson in College Hill. Car involved flipped, ended up hitting a building, killing one of the people inside. Another person was rescued by Cincinnati firefighters and taken to the hospital. No other details have been released in that incident. One person is dead after their motorcycle crashed yesterday evening in Claremont County. Police say the 30-year-old Sean Dane crashed into a car as it was trying to make a left turn off Ward's Corner in Miami Township. He was pronounced dead at the scene. The driver of the car was not injured. Rumpke now asking people to keep a very close eye on what they are putting inside of their trash cans and recycle bins.
For Rumpke, it's a deadly serious issue, and the company is nervous because Rumpke's recycling facility was destroyed by fire 10 years ago. And now Molly Yeager Broadwater says they're watching a trend that's the worst in memory.
We've experienced a lot of fires already this year. So since January, we've experienced 60 fire events throughout greater Cincinnati.
Most of the recent fires caused by the placement of the wrong types of batteries and other flammable stuff in their trash and recycling. Alkaline batteries are acceptable in the trash. Other kinds of batteries are not. This week alone, Rumpke's Cincinnati recycling facility experiencing 9 small fires from batteries. I'm Matt Reese, News Radio 700 WLW.
Reds continued their improved play as of late. Beat the Pirates last night in Pittsburgh 4-0. Cincinnati has now won 5 of their last 7 games. Same two teams again tonight. Our pregame coverage gets underway at 5:35 right here on the home of the Reds. Our next update at 9 o'clock. I'm Rick Uccino, News Radio 700 WLW.
This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Finding a great hire can be a challenge. That's why there's Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform
makes me happy. It reminds me of my old pappy.
Here it comes, the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
8:38, Dan Carroll in for Mike McConnell as we head towards 9 o'clock this morning. And we say hello once again to Jeff Bellinger. And Jeff, Elon Musk put out a tweet this morning. And he's getting good at this, isn't he, putting these tweets out? And it sort of sends everyone into a little bit of a frenzy.
Yeah, causing a lot of turmoil today. Twitter is the most active issue in pre-market trading this morning. The stock down about 13% at the moment. Shares of the short messaging service were off 20% initially after Elon Musk tweeted that he was suspending his agreement to buy Twitter while he awaits information on the prevalence of fake accounts. The stock has recovered some after a second tweet from Musk in which he said he's still committed to the deal. In the meantime, Twitter is in limbo. The company has imposed a hiring freeze and some spending cutbacks as well.
Yeah, he's talking about the calculation of spam or fake accounts. And I guess he wants to figure out if it is truly less than 5%. I mean, if I had to guess, I wouldn't be surprised if it's actually more and actually much more than that, the number of accounts that are fake on Twitter.
It could be. It just sounds like normal due process is taking place, and I don't know really why Musk decided to tweet this morning. Only he really knows that, but it has thrown investors into a little bit of a turmoil.
It certainly has. Nissan looking at building another plant in the U.S.
Yeah, top executive says the Japanese automaker may add a new U.S. plant to help meet demand for electric vehicles. Nissan already has 2 American factories there in Mississippi and Tennessee. The company's chief operating officer says a third plant would be a totally new facility, though it could be built as an extension to an existing plant. If built, it would likely employ several thousand workers.
And I kind of like the sound of this one, National Slider Day coming up on Sunday.
That's right, and I mention it because there's free food to be had. Columbus-based White Castle is going to be giving away cheese sliders. No purchase is necessary. You will have to show a digital coupon. You can find that at any of White Castle's social media channels.
Slider Day got a big yes from our producer, Danny Gleason, this morning. So I'm right there.
Okay.
Tell me about futures.
All right, still looking good. Looks like a good start to the Friday session. S&P futures up 56 points. NASDAQ futures are up 238. And the Dow futures are up 329. Nice working with you today, Dan. Have a great weekend. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
And thank you, Jeff. Great to talk to you as always. 8:41 on this Friday morning. Dan Carroll in for Mike McConnell. And I'm looking at the queue over here. And a name has popped up that I have not seen in a while. And I am told that this is the original Too Sweet. And Too Sweet, I haven't talked to you in a long time. How you doing, sir?
Hey, how's it going? Pretty good, Dad. Hey, did you know one of your talk show callers passed away on Mother's Day, Glenn from Mason?
No. I didn't know. How did you find out about that?
Well, one of the other guys up the dial announced it this week.
So that's your only source on that?
It's a pretty good source.
Well, if it's not,
and I heard his sister. She spoke to it as well. Matter of fact, his funeral will be on the 20th at a church on Tennessee and Bond Hill.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. Glenn and Mason and I, and then many other of the talk show hosts on this station have gone around.
Y'all have some good battles.
Yeah, and we actually had. I want to say it was Thanksgiving last year. I was on late night, and he gave me a call. And it was Thanksgiving Eve leading into Thanksgiving. And he talked about all the food that he had cooking, and he was going to have a bunch of family over. And we decided to not bury the hatchet, but let it rest for that day. We had a nice conversation about Thanksgiving and what he was preparing, and we talked about family for a little bit. And that day we sort of broke bread over the air and found mutual ground and mutual understanding. And I'm sorry to hear of his passing. If that is indeed true, if it's not true, you know he's going to pick up the phone and tell me that I'm spreading lies again.
You got that right, Ben.
All right. Now. God rest his soul. Too Sweet. Great to hear from you.
Okay, Ben.
All right. There you go. So, Too Sweet, breaking that news here on the big one, that Glenn from Mason has passed away. And my condolences. Dave.
Yeah, my condolences as well. That's a shocker.
It is, isn't it? And not that old. I mean, I've seen his picture that he's, because he would.
Mid-50s, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very sad to hear that.
If your news team can find more details on that. I mean, he was a regular, and I'd wondered, it had been a while since he had called, and then we had lost Sensible Don, I know, about a few weeks ago as well. I heard on McConnell's show.
Sensible Don, one of the all-time greats.
Yeah. So, if there's any more info on when that happened or what happened, because, again, we went at it, in fact, because he kind of called me out as with saying some racist comments or something I made, whatever he opined on. But it was great call in for your show and all the other shows.
There was no one who could stir the pot like that guy did. That's
no,
for sure.
Not at all. So you can find out more about that. I was just calling in on that. The golfer, I won up his horrible round. I shot a 117 yesterday at a country club on this beautiful day.
You weren't playing in a U.S. Open qualifier, though, were you?
No, and that's with six 300-yard bombs down the middle. I still managed 117, so I'm one of those. Just swings for the fences with every shot.
But I like the creativity on that. I like the creativity for the league to come together and say, anyone, if you finish last in our league, you got to go play in a U.S. Open qualifier and just embarrass yourself. And again, one of his playing partners wrote that it was terrible for me and my other playing partners, but now he says he's got a good story to tell.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed if I play with anyone that shoots under 80. And it's just awful.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
Being a horrible golfer and having to tee up next to a scratch golfer or someone that's even a 5 handicap, it's painful. And I did get the pleasure of golfing with McConnell and Sloaney, or we are back-to-back foursomes at Icky Woods outing at Heritage Mason, which is a beautiful course, but it's a country club. But it's it was very nice. And Sloaney called McConnell out for having the highest tee shot and also longest to the green at the same time. So,
well, I'll tell you what. I've been there with you, brother. I've been playing with some good golfers, and I'm out there chopping it up while they're just looking at me like, come on, dude, let's see, get the ball in the green, let's go. And so, I know how you feel. It's a terrible, and really, I don't care about my own score, but I care because I know I'm I don't want to screw up these other guys' games by being so bad. That's right. what it's all about.
I do a lot of pick up the ball and just take the double par move on those holes. But one feature with this nice weather and stuff in this summer, maybe you, Sloane, McConnell, whenever you guys golf a public course, you know, throw it out on a review, you know, what it's like so we can find out, you know, some new places.
I kind of like that idea. And, Dave, with that, we got to run. Thank you very much for the call. Have a great weekend. And Dave from Dayton on 700 WLW. We'll talk to Beer Dave coming up. But first, we got to check traffic.
Still a bit slow on I-75 northbound traffic. It's been struggling from about Mitchell to Town Street. We've had a couple of accidents in between. Count on an extra 5 or so minutes through there. North 75 in Kentucky, no issue from Dixie Highway to the bridge. 471, you're looking good at the Big Mac. Just the one issue still with the closure on North Bend Road at Simpson. Bad accident this morning. That stretch of North Bend between Banning and Betts is going to be blocked off. But if you use Oakwood Avenue down to Belmont, you can probably navigate your way through there. From the UC Health Traffic Center, join the best and brightest. Write us at UC. Find your career at uchealth.com/careers. Jason Earhart on News Radio 700 WLW.
We'll have sunshine today, according to the 9 First Warning Weather Forecast. A high of 84, 60 for the low tonight. Sunny tomorrow. Maybe a chance of some severe weather later in the day. Saturday's high, 81 and 80 on Sunday as well. 65 now at 700 WLW.
What's the announcement say this time?
It says personal wealth is evil. All possessions are now property of the state, and that our leaders know what's best for us.
A nation without Bill Cunningham is a very scary place.
It's a great day to be an American.
Bill Cunningham, today at 12 noon on 700 WLW.
This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Finding a great hire can be a challenge.
Carol in for Mike McConnell. And coming up at 9 o'clock, Scott Sloan will be here. But it is that time once again where we say hello to Beer Dave. And Beer Dave, how you doing?
Hey, Dan, Carol. I think it's only our second time to do this together.
I think you are correct, sir. And you are here today. And I guess sometimes you got to talk about the business of brewing, and the owner of Cincinnati Moreline, Cincinnati Beer Brands, has been acquired by another company. Tell me about that.
So a company called Sugar Creek Brandworthy Food Solutions out of Washington Courthouse has stepped in to take over the Moreline brands. And this is the packaging side of it and stuff. This doesn't include the lager house, but this hopefully will be a nice stock of cash to really help these guys kind of crawl back out from the pandemic. The pandemic really harmed these guys, having to shut down their production brewery and all of that. So this should hopefully turn some things around, and maybe we'll start seeing Moreline have a bigger presence in the area.
Yeah, it's good stuff that they've been making there for years. And look, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but typically when breweries change ownership, Do they tend to put agreements in place that they won't change the formula or the recipe for the different beers that they make, or can the new companies just do as they see fit?
It depends on the agreement, but yeah. Some of their stronger selling brands, they're not going to mess with those recipes. That's suicide in beer.
You're right about that. The Hamilton Tap Room for Third Eye. Tell me about that.
So these guys in Sharonville have just been making killer beer. Both Kelly and, of course, Chloe have done an awesome job over there. And they're at capacity, and they needed something else. And so they got a chance to take over an old Pepsi bottling facility up in the Hamilton area, not far from where the Spooky Nook stuff is getting ready to open. So this is going to be a really cool area in Hamilton that we're going to all of a sudden have a few breweries, because Municipal is going to be inside a Spooky Nook, and then we're going to have the Third Eye guys right there as well. So this should be exciting.
Yeah, I guess as business goes, if you have a problem like that, that sounds like a good problem to have, that you have to expand. That's not bad at all.
Yeah,
So I'm reading your notes here, and it just dawned on me that today is May 13th, which makes it 513, which is 513, which, of course, is the area code for Cincinnati. And Sam Adams is going to celebrate 513 Day. I love that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, no, this is something they started a few years back when they opened their tap room there in Over the Rhine. And this is the 25th anniversary that Sam Adams has been brewing out of the old Shaneling Brewery there on Central Parkway. And they're celebrating it. And one of the prizes you can register to win is what Jim Cook is calling the Willy Wonka Tour. Well, Jim Cook will take a few people on a bona fide tour of the facility because it's not set up for tours, and you can actually tour the Sam Adams Brewery there along Central Parkway if you're one of the winners. So I would get to the Sam Adams tap room this afternoon and see what you need to do to be a part of this.
Yeah, I love Sam Adams beer. They got so many varieties that I think are really good. And I had a chance years ago to interview Jim Cook right after it wasn't long after Sam Adams Boston Lager was really making a footprint. And he sat down and he told me the whole story about finding the formula up in the attic of the home in there in Indian Hill. And it was just one of the greatest, most pleasurable interviews I ever had, sitting down and talking to that guy. And I love it when he comes back to Cincinnati because he always takes time to talk to people. And he loves the product so much, and he'll sit there and talk to you all day about Sam Adams beer. So I think that's just one of the great things. Let's see. Here's another one. People will make beer out of anything, it seems like. And now we have lime coconut donut beer. Tell us about that.
So Holtman's lime coconut donut beer from Grainworks Brewery up in Westchester. Uh-huh. They released this last year. This was fun, and they're
really
doing another celebration. I got up there last year and got a chance to try it, and it literally tasted like a key lime coconut donut. It was pretty fascinating stuff. These guys did a good job with this.
That is absolutely amazing. And I guess they have some other varieties as well.
Yeah, they've got the My Blue Heaven Blueberry Ale releasing now, and also the Pound Sign No Filter, a juicy IPA, which has a lot of mango, pineapple, and other citrus flavors coming out through it. And these guys are turning out some really good beer. If you haven't been up there, they're right off of the Westchester exit there in off of 75, just the exit north of Union Center Boulevard.
Yeah, and that's Grainworks Tap Room. And so I guess they are having an event this weekend to sort of celebrate the release of those beers.
Yeah, tomorrow get to Grainworks.
Yeah, and I guess we'll wrap up by talking about you've got Mad Tree and Big Ash Brewing and some others that I guess recently took part in some competitions and came away with.